Welcome to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA. If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255.
And just like that, it's the last weekend in November. Yikes, how did that happen, guys?
Oof.
Yeah,
it feels like it outside.
Yeah, it definitely
feels like it outside.
Yeah, sure. It feels like a nice January day out there.
It's a wee bit brisk. Well, we got all the Christmas trees and firewood in the markets looking good down here. You guys obviously don't know that because you're home.
Not true. I know it because I go down there quite a bit because my mom's at Elizabeth Briere. So I'm actually in the market a lot more than I was before.
Ah, well, I still don't see a breakfast here.
No, well, I just don't have to buy breakfast this time. That's all. I mean, normally when I'm down there, I'm buying breakfast. So,
hey, when are we getting back? When are we getting back to the studio? I'm sick of doing this from home.
Yeah, 2024, I think.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's good to see you got the company swag on, Paul.
I do. I wear my my comfy hoodie all the time, bud.
And Frank has got his favorite restaurant on his chest.
No, it's actually an Italian food supplier.
Oh, okay. Foods,
good friend of mine, Frank Adamo. There you go.
Let me guess. We got to promote him today.
No. You know what it is, though? That is the Italian Costco is what it's referred to. It's a place that's got everything you want, but all Italian food. It's just like a Costco. So, awesome. Yeah. High school friend.
I have nobody to plug, guys. Sorry.
And so, Frank, well, Grecian formula there, Steve. You're looking a little darker
These
days.
Obviously, it's not working.
Yeah.
Well, how was the week that was? Any change in the past week, Paul?
No, negative. You know, saying that, no, but we are seeing a tad bit more when it comes to bidding wars. We saw a few more bidding wars this week, which was hasn't been the norm in a while. But, you know, our listings are still way down. We're at 1,361 active listings on the market, and about a third of those are, just under a third of those are condos. The rental market is still crazy. There's 829 rentals on the market. And when I take a look at the areas I always look at, like the Orleans, the Barrhaven, and the Kanatas, there's 77 more homes for rent in those three areas than there are for sale. And it's always been, you know, double for sale in Orleans than it is for rent. Right now it's even. It's double for rent in Barrhaven, and it's about 1.5 in Kanata. So there's tons of rentals out there. But we did see a little bit of an uptick in our new listings by week. We saw a bit of a decrease in our sold properties by week, and our average sale price remained just flat this week. So it's optimistic to hear there's a few more listings hitting the market, but we're still very, very listing starved. We need listings bad.
Yeah, we probably won't see any change till January, right?
No, we won't. I mean, there are a few people who were on the fence recently about waiting till the new year, and I talked to them, two homes actually that we talked into listing this week. Both of them sold within 24 hours, so they're over the moon. You know, they said, well, we'd like to wait until the spring market. We'd like to wait until, you know, Jan, Feb, March, or April. And I said, well, that's great, but there's 1,361 listings on the market right now. And oh, and by the way, there's 9 in your area.
Wow.
I would get your home on the market right now. Both of them listened to me. Both of them sold within 24 hours, and both of them were very happy with their price.
Nice.
Would they have got maybe a touch more in Jan, Feb, March, April, May of this year? They might have. But what if they waited till Jan, Feb, or March of 2022 and we're up to 2,400 listings on the market? They have more competition at that point. Right now, there was 9 homes in one of the areas and 12 in the other. And when I say that, like within a $300,000 price range. So there's, when I looked at direct comparables, both had 1 or 2 direct comparables. So both listened to me, both got their home on the market, and both sold and are both happy right now.
Well, so that's it. If you can get it sold before the holidays, not have the worry. I mean, I'm up for that.
I am too, but we're getting very close to the point where people are not going to hit the market. I mean, Christmas trees are starting to go up. You know, decorations are starting to go up. People are in the holiday spirit. They don't want people prancing through their home. But like I said before, someone's prancing through your home in December, they're a serious buyer. No one's looking for homes in December if they're not a serious buyer. Where in the summertime, people might be window shopping. They might be going to open houses. They might be doing things like that. The wintertime? No, you got to be serious to be looking at homes in the wintertime. So, yeah,
and the longer you put it off, maybe the higher interest rates are going to be when you try to negotiate your next mortgage, right, Frank?
Well, the good news and bad news, I mean, kind of bittersweet. I mean, with the news of the new variant yesterday, stock markets tumbled, as did bond markets. So we saw a nice big drop in the bond market, 5-year bond yesterday. Now, it's one day. Obviously, the banks haven't lowered the interest rates. But, you know, if this, you know, if this news just, you know, if the variant spreads, then I could see that bond markets will come down and we'll see interest rates come down. But at the end of the day, we're saying all our customers, listen, right now we're trending upwards. Yes, we had a blip yesterday and we don't know whether it's a prolonged blip or it's just a little blip. But at the end of the day, if you have an opportunity to lock in a rate today, so whether your mortgage is up 4 months from now or 6 months from now or 8 months from now, if you think that rates are going up, in some cases, it's worth paying the penalty to break it just to secure a rate for the next 5 years, as opposed to waiting closer to your maturity date to secure that rate.
Are you okay to do that if you're 8 months out, a year out?
I think so. And I think the goal is, give us a call. And what a broker will do is we'll take your application and we'll actually lock in a rate for 120 days. We don't necessarily have to action it just yet. What we want to do is we maybe want to sit on the sidelines for about 75 to 90 days of it and see what happens. And if rates have gone up in that 75 or 90 days and they're still trending upwards, then you got to make a decision. We got to do some math as to whether it's worth it to pay that penalty, figure out what the penalty is and whether you get that lower rate for the next 5 years or whether you take a chance and say, okay, let's wait it out. And if you wait it out and the rates don't come down and continue to go up, then you may be end up on the losing end.
So if my mortgage isn't due for 6 months, can I call you now and you'll just hang on to the information and then we'll be ready to go when it's time to lock in?
Yeah, for sure. What we'll do is we'll take your application and we'll secure the rates for 4 months. And then, like I said, about 3 months in, we'll review again and we'll see what's happened with rates in that time frame. If the rates have gone up, you got a decision to make. If the rates have remained stable, well, now at that point, we can lock it back in for the 4 months. And now you're within that 4 month window and your rate's secured.
Now, Paul, you mentioned that we're seeing some multiple offers again. Does this mean people are going in without conditions? Does this mean the lawyers are going to be busy?
Yeah, there was an article. I can't remember what paper it was in. There was an article that there's been quite a few lawsuits flying around because of people that bought their home firm and then went into the home and found, you know, mold and issues and cracks and foundation issues and stuff like that. But
Issue is they weren't disclosed, right? That's the issue. I think that's the argument the lawyers are making, is that the vendor knew about it. And they're obligated to if you don't know about it, that's one thing. But if you know about it, but proving that somebody knows about it, I think is going to be the challenge for some lawyers.
Well, this is where I was really, really working hard educating my agents when they were going in to list a property. And I said, listen, guys, most likely someone's buying this property firm. Let's do our due diligence. Let's find out if there's any issues, because we don't want to be a part of that lawsuit. And, you know, if there's an issue that the seller is not divulging that we can't see, then okay, that's on the seller. But if there's something like a crack in a foundation or something like that, that we should have seen ourselves, that's our fault. We should have been able to go in and say, hey, Mr. Seller, this looks like a major crack. It looks like there's some effervescent there. Have you had some leaking? What's going on? This is something we have to divulge if there's an issue. And I think what was happening, I think it was maybe a combination of sellers trying to hide things and maybe some realtors not doing their due diligence and finding out what was actually wrong with these places. But yeah, it was a sticky and a fine line, really, what it was. I mean, I was also working with my agents on the buy side saying, guys, you have to almost be like a mini inspector and you have to be looking for faults in this property for your buyers. We're in and out of thousands of homes. We sell hundreds of homes every year. We should know when there's issues, and we do. And I think there's, I can't remember how many lawsuits they said are pending right now, but there's a number of them. And, yeah, you know, if you were a seller and you had issues with your house at that point and you were selling it because of those issues and not divulging it, well, shame on you. You should have been divulging a lot of that stuff. And because of that, you're probably in a lawsuit now.
I wonder how many of those were private sales.
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, it's hard to tell, but there'll be
a combination of both, though, right? There'll be a combination of both. It's not all going to be private.
But I'm just wondering how many people try to keep it under the radar, you know, during that time.
Yeah, true. And listen, I would say that there's a ton of agents in this city that are very educated and very smart, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they would have done their due diligence. So I would say when you're listing with a realtor, we are doing our due diligence. The problem with if you're trying to sell it on your own is you're relying on the seller. As a buyer consumer, you're just relying on the seller to tell you everything you need to know. And you know, listen, not everyone's a specialist when it comes to issues with houses. We're lucky we see so many of them that we're able to educate ourselves. But there's a lot of buyers who will go into those transactions by themselves, uneducated about what issues with properties. And maybe they bought something that was 11 that they shouldn't have bought.
But at the same time, you're not home inspectors, right? So you're sort of at the mercy of the seller telling you if they're aware of a situation. And you do ask that question, right?
Yeah, we're definitely not home inspectors, but Steve, keep in mind when we're selling, you know, 600, 700, 800 homes a year, we are going to a lot of home inspections. So we're hearing the home inspectors as they're going through the house saying, you know, here's an issue, here's not an issue, here's, you know, so we know what issues are. We're educated because we've done it over and over and over again. But yeah, they can't rely on us as a home inspector to tell them, you know, what's wrong with the house. We do need a home inspector to do that, or do your due diligence yourself, right? So that's really important as well.
You think this is going to make a change now in people going in with firm offers and no conditions?
Absolutely not. No, you have to do what you have to do to get a house sometimes, right? And we're seeing more and more. Like there's 174 conditional sales right now in the market, which is not a lot considering there was 384 homes sold last week. So you know, we're still going to see those firm offers with conditions, but we're also seeing lots of offers with conditions now and more and more. I mean, I was talking to one of my agents the other day and I said, oh, you did a home inspection. Who'd you use? And he said, oh, I use my, you know, our boys Closer Look Home Inspections, who are the best. And I'm like, how have they been over the last 18 months? He was like, it's been tough. Yeah. It's been really tough for them because they haven't been doing inspections. But what they have been doing is post-move-in inspections is what a lot of people are doing. Because that's what I recommend too. If you had to go in firm, the day you get your house, do an inspection. Yeah. Now, the reason you do that is not to come back on the seller. The reason you do that is for your own knowledge of what you need to fix.
Well, I guess it's golf.
But maybe to come
better.
Back on the seller too, right? But maybe to come back on the seller too. If you find something that's
obvious,
you know, that's there, that's serious, then I think that you may have an opportunity at least to lodge your complaint right up front as soon as you move into the place.
The smartest thing you can do once you purchase a property, if you move into it, talk to the neighbors. Yeah. Talk to the neighbors. Have you ever seen this seller having any issues with this property? Talk to the neighbors before you even put the offer in. You know, have you ever seen someone here trying to dig up a foundation? Have you ever seen any issues, leaking, anything that I should know about? Most sellers are going to be like, yeah, I saw a truck digging up their foundation 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So you can ask those questions. There's so many things you can do as a buyer to do your due diligence when you're buying a property.
And you hope to find a neighbor that doesn't like them.
True. Yeah.
521.
Shouldn't the realtor do that? Maybe the realtor should be doing that.
Bit of both. Yeah. Bit of both.
Yep.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
521-TALK, 521-8255. To the phones we go and say hello to Ron in Ottawa South. How are you, Ron?
Very good. I have a question, probably for Frank. In the financial press, we keep on hearing in the Globe and Mail about household debt. Well, if you have a $300,000 mortgage and your house is worth $600,000, you're still in the black $300,000. How come they keep on writing about household debt?
Because that's makes the news. I mean, it's they talk about record debts, but they don't talk about record equity that most Canadians are carrying these days. So,
yes, the assets,
and the net and worth the of Canadians going up. But you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, if somebody's making $100,000 a year and you've got a $300,000 mortgage with your monthly payments of, let's say, $1,500, you're extremely comfortable with that income and having that kind of a mortgage payment. But, you know, you read the number, 178% of your income, this would be 300% or of your income, and yet, you know, it's deemed to be poor when in actuality you're actually in great shape. So,
and what's the 5-year fixed rate mortgage today?
Anywhere between 2.5% to 2.75, 2.85, somewhere
and that's
in there.
Historically low.
Historically very low. Now, not as low as it was a year ago when we were closer to 1.5%. So we've seen some increases there. Nonetheless, we're still in great shape. If we look at, you know, where rates have been over the last 40, 50 years, we're pretty close to the bottom.
And Paul, a question to you. What is the down payment required on a $700,000 house?
Well, I mean, that's more for Frank, but it's it all depends, right? It depends on your
credit. Well, it's 5%. So it's 5% of the first 500 and then 10% of everything after. So it would be 25,000 on the first 500. And if you're buying for 700, then it would be 10% on the other 200. Therefore, you got $45,000 down payment in that scenario.
Just what I was going to say.
Quite often where the house price is 500, but it sold for 600. Are the real estate agents lowballing the price?
you know what? During the start of the year, we saw sort of some, there was a couple strategies. Either you priced it really high, hoping to get that price, or you slightly underpriced it, knowing it was going into a bidding war. The problem was at the start of the year, it was almost impossible to price a property because you didn't, like, you know, I went and did a CMA for someone one time, and they're like, what do you think my house is worth? And I said, well, there's an argument for 600, but there's also an argument for 750. It's hard to tell. It depends on who's going to buy it. Right now, the market's changed a little bit where you can't overprice a property. You just can't. And underpricing a property is probably a better strategy, but I say just slightly underpricing the property is a better strategy, mainly because it's the market's a little bit tougher now. But, you know, in the first half of the year, many people thought realtors were underpricing the home. The problem being is no one knew what it was actually going to sell for because we had buyers coming from all over the place, from Toronto, and, you know, whatever they deemed to see the price, they were bidding on it. So it was driving up the prices. So it was really hard to price a home at the start of the year.
It was changing super fast, right, Paul?
It's in the start of the year, it was so fluid. What I said on the radio one week was different from what I said the next week. And it was so fluid. The market was shifting so quick. Right now, it's a little bit more predictable. We're in a normal Ottawa market again. Yes, we're still in a seller's market, but the reason we're in a seller's market is because the lack of inventory. If we didn't have a lack of inventory, I believe we'd be closer to a balanced market the way the market feels right now. But because we have no inventory, it's driving up prices. Therefore, homes are selling, and it's keeping us in that strong seller's market.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Good questions.
Speaking of listing a house low, was it last week or the week before? Toronto had one listed for $1. Now, I've seen this gimmick before. Listed for $1 and then ended up going for $1.1 million, I think.
We did that. I saw that here too in Ottawa during the start of this year. I saw a gentleman, I'm not going to say any names, but I saw a gentleman who they had someone who bought the property. They paid, I think, something like, I don't know, $500 for it or something like that. They had to put it back on the market. They put it back on at $1, sold for something like $7.25. So just within a couple of weeks, they made, you know, $225,000 on that property by listing it at $1, which I think a lot of realtors weren't very happy with that because that's, you know, you're not doing your due diligence or your homework when you're listing something at $1.
But it gets attention for the house, right?
It does get attention for the house, and that house did get attention. All the realtors were talking about it, and, you know, it ended up selling for $7.25, $7.30, something like that. And so it was a strategy, but right now it's a lot more difficult because I can tell you right now, I had two conversations with sellers this week. One was someone who was listed with somebody else, but asked us to come in and take a look at the property and potentially take over the listing. Obviously, you have to tread lightly because it's already listed. But he was telling me, he's like, yeah, I'm looking for $700. And I said, you're at $599 right now. First of all, I can't discuss price because it's not my listing. But right. You want $700, but you're at $599. Oh, yeah, I see that's happening. I said, yeah, that happened in the first start of the year. That market's gone, but that market is totally gone. It happens. But very rarely now that market's gone.
Yeah, you need a bidding war for that to happen now.
You need a bidding war for that. And if you're on the market for 2 months and you're not selling at $599, you're not getting $700. You're just not getting $700. And there's a very good chance you're not getting a bidding war if you went on for 2 months at the same price. So, you know, I still believe sellers are very unrealistic in this market. I think a lot of times, and I do believe the news hasn't caught up. That's the problem. The news is still talking about a crazy market, and we're not in a crazy market anymore. And I think sellers need to realize that because all the time my agents are going in now, people are with the expectations that are just unrealistic, really unrealistic. They want way over asking. And we're like, it's just the market's shifting, guys. It's definitely shifting or has shifted.
Yeah, well, and now it's a matter of greed, right? Because you see it's gone up. You assume it's going to keep going up at the same rate that it did, and it's impossible for that to happen.
Steve, if I had a dollar for every time someone said to me, my neighbor in February got 625. Well, yeah, that was February. The market was insane in February. There's tons of buyers in the market. I know your neighbor got 625. Can you get close to that? Yes. But I think that market sailed, my friend. I think that market sailed.
So these days when you're doing comparables and you look back to, say, February and you see a price of 650, do you automatically take 30 grand off that, 40 grand off that if you're pricing it today?
First of all, if you're pricing it today, you can't be looking at February, March, April, May. You can't be looking at those comparables. You can look at them, but you don't use them because most likely you need to know about them, though, because most likely the seller knows about them. But you need to really educate the seller on how the market shifted, what's happened in the area in the last 2 weeks, 30 days, 45 days, 60 days, anything after that, you know, our market started to shift. Our height was at the end of June. It started to shift as of July 1st. So I wouldn't go anywhere further back than July 1st when you're looking at comparables.
But would you take that 650 and knock off 40 grand and say that's more realistic?
I wouldn't say 40 grand. It's hard to tell depending on what area you're in. Most likely, let's hypothetically you say that 650 story. Most likely, they probably listed at 500 and got a crazy bidding war and ended up selling for 650. If they want to list at 500 and hope for 650, but they may not get it. We're seeing a lot of times, most times, they're not getting it right now. That market, that 6 month period, is something I don't think we'll ever see again.
What about homes with permanent Christmas lights? Do they sell quicker?
Yeah, but who would do that? Who would do this? You've got to be lazy to get someone to come up and do your Christmas lights, don't you, Frank?
Well, not if they're permanent, not Christmas lights, but they're lights inside your Easterhof.
Oh, so you did that is what you're saying.
I did that because I don't have friends to come and do it every year for free for me.
Yes, I do have a shout out. I do have a shout out to my good buddy, Rick LeMay, who's one of my best buddies. He's here, actually here right now doing my Christmas lights, and he was so generous that he was over at my girlfriend Petra's house before this doing her lights too. So, you know, he's a good dude.
So what are you going to do? Pull a shift for him?
I wouldn't mind. Yeah.
521 Talk, 521-8255. We'll be right back after this.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
We're back with Paul Rushforth and Frank Napolitano. This is Steve Gregory going to the telephone. Say hello to Chris. Hello, Chris from Rockland.
Yes, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Got a question for Paul, and I know it's tricky there. I live in Clarence Creek past Rockland.
Yep.
And I'm just trying to get an idea what my house might be worth, what they're going for in the area. It's a all-brick bungalow, 1,500 square feet, two bedrooms up, one down, with a double detached garage and a decent-sized lot. It's about 100 by 250.
Yeah, it's hard to tell without me seeing it. I can tell you, though, Rockland, that area has gone up 18.5% year-to-date, so it has a nice increase. And we are seeing, because of the affordability in Orleans, we are starting to see some people move outskirts to the Rocklands, the Limoges, the Embrums, places like that. But we have no problem coming out to take a look at your property and let you know if there's some things you can do to spruce it up to you know, make some money on it, as well as give you a price anytime you want. We can do that for you.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'll give you a call, because I'm kind of interested in looking at other properties, but I kind of need to know ballpark what I'm going to get for this place. So I'll give you a shout on Monday then.
Okay, for sure. Yeah, we'll definitely come out, let you know what you can expect. You know, give you a net sheet, what you can get left in your pocket. And then we can actually set you up on a search, send you properties on a daily basis from all real estate companies, including our own.
You got somebody in the office now, don't you, Paul, that could take the information and get the ball rolling?
I do, yeah. If you wanted to call, I believe Mike's in the office now. I can give you the number if you want to call. Mike can take your call and get all the information about your property and set it up for you.
Yeah, sure. Give me one
second.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
613.
Yep.
788-2122. And they'll direct you right to Mike, and he'll be able to take your call and take all your details.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay. Thanks for the call,
Chris. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Here's a question for both you guys. You buy a house on a golf course. The golf course disappears. How much does that affect your selling price?
Drastically. Drastic.
Talking about Canada, aren't you, Steve?
Yeah, are you talking about Canada? Well, so far that's not going anywhere, right?
Well, now it's got to go to the Supreme Court, if the Supreme Court will hear it.
So the problem with that is the Canada golf course, if you've ever played it, you should see some of the beautiful homes on that golf course and the beautiful yards they have. And backing onto a golf course is a huge premium. So you take that away, you've just lost your premium. So there's lawsuits to be had there. There's definitely lawsuits because they bought the homes off a builder who promised them a golf course lot, and they probably paid premiums of, depending on how long ago, but
they would have paid a premium for golf course.
Oh lot. My, yeah. Yeah. Nowadays, you'd probably pay anywhere between 60 to 80 grand for a golf course lot. Whereas back then you probably only paid between 10 to 25 for the golf course lot back then when they were built. Still, you paid for a premium. And back then when the average sale price was in the, you know, the twos, and you're paying upwards of $25,000 for a lot premium, you're paying almost 10% of your home in a lot premium. There's some lawsuits to be had there. Cause that's, I mean, if I buy on a golf course, I want to buy on a golf course. I don't want to buy on a, you know, on not on a golf course and other, now they're going to be backing onto other homes, which is not what I bought. Yeah. That's a tricky one. That's a very tricky one. I would be up in arms if I was one of those guys backing onto a golf course and within, you know, a few years, I'm going to be backing onto another home, potentially even commercial. Like I would be upset.
But if it gets ruled in the builder's favor, what does this do to the future of you buying a house on a golf course? How much is the contract really worth?
Well, exactly. I mean, you want to see something written in stone, right? That that's, you know, because it's, you're right. If you, because nowadays, like I said, you're looking at a 60, 80, maybe even $100,000 premium. You buy on that golf course and you pay that premium, and all of a sudden you're not, you don't have that premium. That's ugly.
Well, and don't forget.
Didn't the same thing happen in Barrhaven? What's the course in Barrhaven? Didn't the same thing happen there?
Yeah, Stonebridge. Yeah. Yeah. Same thing.
Stonebridge,
happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't get rid of the course. They just shortened it a little bit.
Well, I believe there was homes that were promised backing onto a golf course, which I believe they were going to build more, and they turned it down and made it other homes. I believe that's a Stonebridge story. I could be incorrect. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, they were given a golf course promise that they're not getting anymore. So,
but what happens if you're buying on a golf course now?
I don't know. This is the first I've heard of it, to be honest. I knew about the Stonebridge story, but the Kanata story, I mean, obviously that story's been going on for the Kanata golf course story's been going on for a couple of years, but I don't think I've ever heard of someone losing their golf course premium view. Like I haven't heard of that.
Yeah.
But the problem with Ottawa per capita is one of the highest for golf courses in the world. Ottawa is. Per capita. So, you know, I'm not sure how they survive here. Cause when you think about it, golf courses only last what, 6 months in golf, maybe not even
a little bit more, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more.
You're a fair weather golfer. So
totally
4 months for me, but
here's the thing. From what I've been reading, the original contract stated that if they didn't want to run the course anymore, they had to give it back to the city.
Yeah.
So it's a head shaker for me.
This is not over, Steve. This is definitely not over.
Yeah, but if the Supreme Court doesn't hear it, then it is over.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's the builder, too?
There's a couple of builders, but I wouldn't mention them. But I think Clublink owns it.
Clublink does own it. Yeah. Clublink owns it. Trust me, I know it. It's the hardest Clublink course I play.
they're all hard.
No, Kanata's hard. Kanata's the hardest, man. That course eats me up.
So now what happens if somebody lists in that area?
Lists or lives?
Lists. What if you want to sell? What if you live in Kanata Lakes now and in that area and you want to sell?
Well,
how do you appraise the house?
You're just definitely not getting that golf course premium. Now, until we know the final ruling, I mean, but anyone who lists now, people know about the story. So, yeah. I mean, they're not looking for that to pay a premium for your house on the golf course now.
So you would sit tight and not list if you didn't have to, right?
As of right, well, no, I wouldn't say I would sit tight, but just know that the story's out there. And it, either way, I mean, if the story goes in your favor, then great. You still have your golf course premium. If the story doesn't go in your favor, you just have a normal house now, you know, without that premium. So tough one, real tough one.
Is it
tough? It really is. You're right, Paul. And I think personally, I mean, if you were a member there, I think some of those homeowners would probably say, it's okay if they put a house there because really I'm in danger every day. If Paul's golfing anyway, so I can't be in my backyard. So,
well, hold on. They don't have houses right on the green. Give me a break.
I've actually hit shots over houses on that course.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah. I wonder what insurance is like on a golf course. Like, can you get golfers insurance?
You must be able to. I don't know for sure though. Maybe they won't have to. Hey, maybe they'll make their money back in a rebate from their insurance.
Hey, if we have any insurance brokers out there that are listening to the show, call in and tell us if we can actually get you can get insurance on a golf course.
Yeah. Anyway, I feel for those folks.
I do too. Yeah, I do too. I do feel for those folks who you know, thought they were getting something and they've had it for years and expected it for forever and they're just not getting it. I mean, and a lot of people that buy on a golf course, they're actually golfers too. Like a lot of golfers buy on golf courses and a lot of those homeowners are probably members at Club Lake and the Kanata Golf Course. And they probably play it every day and they just walk out their backyard and they're sitting on the tee box and they're ready to go. And now they could be getting ready to watch someone swim in a pool behind them.
Yeah, and it takes away cross-country skiing in the winter. There's a lot that goes on, you know, when you buy on the back of a golf course.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It'd be beautiful to do that. It's a shame that they're losing it. That they're potentially losing it. I do definitely feel for them if they do lose it.
Yeah. Boy, I wouldn't want to go through that. And it's still a head shaker to me. I don't understand how it can happen.
I don't either.
521-TALK, 521-8255. Back with our final segment. And Frank's going to tell us how quickly interest rates are coming down, seeing that the bond market has come down. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. Hey, just before we move on, I mean, I know I'm always, you know, sticking it to you, Frank, but I just saw a news story that said gas prices
in
Canada
could
come down 11 cents a liter
tomorrow.
Yeah, no, it's actually tomorrow. So don't buy gas today. Wait until tomorrow.
I've never seen Frank smile like this.
Well, you know what's awkward about this? I get my electric car on Tuesday. That's the awkwardness of all this.
Well, so that's exactly why it's coming down.
Uh-huh. And Greg, by the way, you're not getting an electric car. It's a moped you're getting.
No.
521-TALK, 521-8255. To the phones we go and say hello to Jeff in Ottawa. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Got a question for Frank. I got a rental property in Orleans, which I have a home equity line of credit on. And I'm buying land cash and then building on it. With the ratios looking at it, with the home equity line of credit taken into account, it's going to be tight getting approved for the mortgage. But the funds from the mortgage are going to be paying off the home equity line of credit. So are there lenders that would say the funds are going to pay off the home equity line of credit and not take that into my ratios?
Of course. If you're paying it off, as long as the proceeds are being used to pay off that line of credit, then they would deduct that from your ratios. Now, again, there's lenders out there. I think TD, and I don't know if they've changed their policy, but you know, there's some banks out there that will use your limit against you on your qualifications and not necessarily what you owe on it, which I think is ridiculous. But you know, if those lenders are going to act that way, then just shut the door on them and move somewhere else. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think if you're building the house and then you're going to pay off the line of credit, get the mortgage on the house, and you're using those funds to pay off the line of credit, then, you know, it can't count double against you. It should only count once against you, and that's the mortgage that you're getting on the house.
Yeah, it's just easier to go this way then, because it's a custom build and going through a construction loan. Oh. The mortgage is, and when it's built, it's only going to need like a 60% loan to value. So even if they say it's not worth what it cost me to build, I still have room to play.
Well, again, a property should be worth what it's worth in the marketplace, not what it costs you. If you're, you know, if you've got family or yourself that are handy and you do a lot of the work, you shouldn't be penalized for that. And I always say that to the lenders. Don't, you know, they love using the lower of the purchase price or the appraised value when it comes to a purchase. And I totally get that. That makes sense. When it doesn't make sense, when somebody's building a house and they're putting sweat equity into it, or they've got family members helping them build it, then the value of the property is what the market value says. And regardless of what it costs them to build it, that shouldn't be held against them.
All right, perfect. Thanks for the information.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, thanks.
Let's go to Canada. Say hello to Peter. Hello, Peter.
Hey, guys. Frank, I talked to you a couple weeks ago. So I've got a mortgage, $130,000 left on it, 7 years. It's coming up for renew in April. So I went to see my bank. I was at 344. You'd actually sent me to the bank at the time because they offered me the same rate you could get me. Anyways, I went and saw them. They offered me 1.3 variable, which I've never done variable before, and I understand the challenge of that right now. And they offered me 2.37 fix. So my thought was to go variable. Just wondering, are those good rates? Am I doing the right thing? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no question they're good rates. I mean, what I would do is, listen, if you're comfortable paying the mortgage payment you are on, your 3.44, I would maintain that payment.
We did,
take the variable. Yeah. Take the variable, and now you've got a 2-point spread between where you're at now and where you're going to be, which is massive. And again, you're really, really, really dialing up your principal amount of your mortgage payment by going this route. So that therefore, even as rates, prime rate does start to go up a little bit, your balance will be that much less because you're aggressively paying down your mortgage. What's your amortization left?
So I've got 7 years in total, so I would be renewing for 5 years variable fixed.
Yeah, my guess is that if you kept the payment at 3.44, at the end of 5 years, your mortgage would be pretty well vanished probably.
Yeah, and that's what we plan on doing, so I appreciate that. So just a quick question with the variables then. So is it always a certain percentage below prime? Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's what you're locking up. So very similar to a fixed mortgage. When you get a fixed mortgage, the bank guarantees a certain interest rate for that five-year period. On a variable, what they guarantee you is that discount below the prime for that five-year period. So they can't control the prime rate, obviously. The prime rate, the Bank of Canada controls it, and therefore the banks follow suit. But what you guarantee is that, you know, if you're at 1.3, if they're offering you 1.3, they're giving you prime less 1.15 with every bank except for TD. If you're with TD, then they have a very – the only thing that scares me about TD is that they have a mortgage prime rate that they can change at any time. So it doesn't go with what Bank of Canada does. So that's the only – to me, that's the only risk with TD is that they can change it if they need to make a little bit more money. They can just change that mortgage prime, which I think is absolutely absurd, but they've been doing it. But what they do then is they offset it by giving a bigger discount. But that doesn't help you if 2 years down the road they decide to move their mortgage prime rate that nobody else does, because then your rate's going up and no other bank's rate is going up, customer that's with that bank. So, but if you're not with TD, then basically every other bank has the same prime rate. And what you want to guarantee is the prime minus. In your case, prime minus 1.15.
Awesome. Thanks. You made me feel better about that. Thank you.
Good.
Thanks, Peter. Okay. Look at Frank. Hey, you got it down, Frank. I don't know. How long have you been doing this? A week? Two weeks?
Just a few years. Just a few years.
Is this what, 67, 68 years you've been doing
it? Hey, Paul, let me ask you this. Now that there's not many listings in the market and there's not a whole glut of activity, if you're looking to buy a house and you don't want to get into a multiple offer situation, or you don't want to go in completely firm, good time to look now?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because there's a lot of people that have taken themselves out of the market right now. We've actually been trying to reach back to some of the buyers that were losing out on offers back in the first part of the year. Some of them are still shell-shocked and they're like, no, we're okay for right now. But no, now's a great time because there's still enough listings on the market to have some opportunity and some choice. But there's less buyers now. Like, the buyers have slowly taken themselves out of the market. And a lot of the time it's for this time of year too, right?
Yep.
I mean, they're focusing on Christmas and holidays and, you know, vacations. And I mean, I've never seen so many people posting pictures on Facebook of them being on vacation. I think people are just getting it out of their system right now. I'm actually surprised Frank doesn't post his Speedo pictures, but that'll be coming soon.
Oh, sure. He did. They were taken down.
Yeah. Thank God. Thank God. But no, it is a good time, Steve, because there is a lot of choice.
It gives you a little more flexibility, though, as a buyer, right? You're not as pressured, are you, at this time of year?
No, you're not as pressured at all. I mean, we're still seeing the multiple offers, but we're seeing a lot of conditional offers, a lot of offers at list price or below. Like, we are seeing some negotiating going on now, so it's definitely a different market. And as we get into the spring market, yes, there's going to be more choice, but there's also going to be more buyers in the market at that time. So I think if you're a buyer and you can find something you like, now's the time to buy, because it's we've definitely seen a lot of buyers with shell shock that have taken themselves right out of the market. So
There's so much more time before the holidays. Like, you know, you got a couple of weeks to do some hard looking if you want to and get it done, right?
Well, we're only the 27th, right?
Yeah.
And so, our market goes up until the, you know, we have a showings on our listings on the 24th of December. Like, I mean, there's different religions and different cultures too that are looking all through the Christmas period too. So, I mean, I said it last week, but from Christmas to New Year's, it's a pretty busy time because a lot of people have nothing to do. They're off work. They have family in town. They're in the market for a new home. What a perfect time to go look at homes. So we do see a lot of activity in that period too. So with the exception of maybe like the 23rd to the 26th, 27th, those are like four really quiet days. But other than that, our market never stops, never stops.
And the rates, Frank, just to touch on?
Well, rates again, I mean, no movement this week. I mean, we did see the bond market come down yesterday. We'll see what happens early next week. And if the bond markets continue to come down a little bit because of this new variant, then hopefully the banks will pass on some of those savings and make it a really nice way to end 2021.
Will they pass on the same savings going down as they did going up?
We'll find out. We're sure to find out. I mean, generally they don't. At some point they catch up, but it always takes them a little longer. But, you know, they might think it's just a blip. So they might Yeah. They might wait 2 weeks, 3 weeks before they lower them, just in case they go back up.
And they do that when they go up, right? They wait?
Of course they do. A whole day.
Frank, you know what's funny? You know what's funny is, like, it's been kind of sneaky how the rates have crept up by about 1% over the last, whatever, 3 months, eh? Like, even last week when Steve asked you what are the rates like, I think he said the five-year fix was like 2.4. Today you said it's 2.5 to 2.75 or whatever you said. Like, yeah. there seemed to be just really sneaky creeping up, you know? Like, it was, I felt like it was just yesterday that you said the best rate was 1.5, you know?
Right. Yeah, lenders, you know, out of the blue, all of a sudden you get a whole bunch of them. And they all collude. Let's call a spade. They all collude. All of a sudden, within, you know, 3 days, you get almost every single lender that's increased them. So,
yeah, it's crazy.
Birthdays, Frank.
Hey, just a couple. Erin McDonnell from my team celebrating her birthday, and my beautiful little nephew Carmelo celebrating his 10th birthday today. So happy birthday to Carmelo.
Nice. Paul, you got anything? Yeah.
I have one too. Yeah, on the 29th, which I believe is Monday, one of my super agents, Corey Olson, celebrates a birthday. So happy birthday, Corey.
And who's the name of the guy that put up your Christmas lights again?
My buddy Rick LeMay, he's the best, man. He put up my Christmas lights for me.
Have you got a number for him?
Rick, I went out and talked to Rick, and Rick is like, oh, great. Now I'm going to get a bunch of Christmas lights.
Paul at PaulRushforth.com, Frank N. at MortgageBrokersOttawa.com. Have a great week, gentlemen.
Have a great week, and please continue to support local businesses and charities, everyone.